It began with a suspicious car in County Leash and it ended with arrests, charges, seized explosives and an alleged plot to bomb a mosque in Galway. Now Gardaí are warning that violent far-right extremism is no longer just an online problem, it's a dangerous real-world problem too, right here, right now, in Ireland. It's News Talk Daily, I'm Shane Beattie. In recent years, Ireland's far-right has emerged from behind anonymous social media accounts and taken to the streets. Some of its leaders have even run for election. And as we've discussed here on the podcast, the movement has embraced many of the themes of the far-right elsewhere in Europe. One of them is Islamophobia. Only last month, the chief imam of the Islamic Centre of Ireland, Sheikh Dr. Umar Al-Qadri, was verbally attacked on a flight home to Dublin. He told Pat Kenny about his experience of being targeted simply because of his faith.
I asked him. He said, no, he doesn't know who I am. He has seen me on internet. So he just seen me on internet. Now, I know that for the past year, when I stood for the European elections, a lot of videos of mine which were edited, they were posted online by various different activists, far-right activists, and they were spread. And these videos are fake. I reported them to the platforms. Now, TikTok was very good, Facebook was very good, because they did take them down. However, X, which used to be Twitter, they refused to take them down. And those videos are still there. And these are edited clips of mine, which completely give a very different perception about the person that I am. I mean, I'm well known for peace building, for being very passionate about interfaith dialogue. But those videos give an impression as if I am a person that calls for violence against Christians and people of other faiths, which is not true. But it's unbelievable, because a lot of people, they actually believe it. You know, misleading information, hate speech circulates online. And sometimes it's done in a way that people, if they do not do their research and they just take it on face value, they might believe the video that they see, which is completely not true.
The recent firebombing of an IPAS centre in Louth has heightened concern that anti-immigrant sentiment has entered a new, more violent phase. Four children, including a baby, had to be rescued from the burning building. Drogheda-based Fine Gael councillor Ejiro O'Hare knows some of the residents of the centre, and she spoke to News Talk Breakfast.
People are deeply upset about the incident that happened during the last couple of days. It shouldn't have happened. The community of Drogheda is a very welcoming community, very hospital community, and it's not something we were expecting. So everybody is shocked. The people affected are quite shocked. I know the residents that live there because some of them are there for 2 years, and they were quite upset when I went to see them and very shocked about the whole thing. This is not typical of what happens in Drogheda. Drogheda is a very welcoming community. I've been here myself for over 34 years, and in that period of time, they've only shown love and care. And even the ladies, when I was speaking to them, they said to me that, look, they've been in Drogheda for over 2 years and they haven't seen anything like this. They've received love and support, and so they were quite shocked that something like this was actually happening in a place that have embraced them so much and has been so hospitable. The incident has to be dealt with before they go out of hand.
The extremist right in Ireland is also becoming increasingly internationalised, establishing links across borders. We've even seen the tricolour being flown at anti-migrant protests in Loyalist Portadown and at Tommy Robinson-led demonstrations in London. Kieran O'Connor, who monitors extremist behaviour for the Institute for Strategic Dialogue, told News Talk Daily about these changes.
I think it points towards the increased ideological overlap that groups from different countries now share. And I think it also points towards an increased transnationalization of anti-migrant mobilization that we're seeing in the UK and Ireland, but also across Europe as well. Anti-migrant mobilization across this island, across the UK, it's entered a new, more organized phase. So What began, I suppose, as scattered, localized protests in late 22 have now evolved into an increasingly structured and internationally connected movement. It's, I suppose, symbolized by that shared grievance of anti-migrant sentiment, which I think is, it seems quite pivotal in being able to unite groups or figures that would have traditionally diametrically opposed, you know, political positions and viewpoints. But in this shared activity of opposing immigration in a community or in a country, they find common cause. And that's why they're able to march or demonstrate or collaborate in the ways that we've seen that are quite unprecedented compared to previous years.
Last week, the Irish Examiner revealed details of arrests linked to an alleged terrorist plot by a group we've learned calls itself the Irish Defence Army, a small, secretive cell inspired by beliefs similar to those of the so-called Great Replacement conspiracy theory. Two men have been charged with possessing explosive materials, while Muslim communities across the country say they are living in fear. To make sense of all of this, I'm joined by Cormac O'Keefe, security correspondent with the Irish Examiner. Cormac, you're welcome back to News Talk Daily.
Good morning.
Great to have you. You've been following this story closely. So I suppose, first of all, you might bring us up to speed on the arrests, the story which you broke in the Examiner, and also the subsequent charges after this Garda operation with the PSNI.
Fairly dramatic development last Thursday. Well, the arrests were early on Wednesday morning in County Laois. And this was a cross-border operation between the Guards and the PSNI. As I say, two men were arrested in the south, and then there was a search operation at an address in the north, and a number of alleged suspect devices were found. They were subsequently charged, so they're before the courts at the moment. The wider, I suppose, issue is raised for the authorities, north and south, was the emergence of what has been described by the authorities as an alleged violent right-wing organisation, something that we haven't had recorded in the country before. So it was a very significant development and a worrying development for the authorities here, both north and south, something they had, to be honest, expected to probably happen at some stage, just given the developments over the last couple of years. But a worrying one, nonetheless, not least what they discovered.
And there is a video as well. So when these two men appeared before Portlaoise District Court, the judge, Andrew Cody, gave details of a video he had viewed, which Gardaí allege featured the accused. What did the judge say about the contents of the video?
Well, as before the court, I probably won't go into in too much detail. He viewed it and he commented on some detail as to the contents. Firstly, it contained an alleged intent to target a mosque in Galway. There was a pre-prepared trial statement / video in which they allegedly would claim responsibility and the reasonings why. So again, this is something that is new to this country, particularly from an alleged extreme right-wing grouping. And on the back of it, I actually spoke to a number of Muslim leaders, and not surprisingly, they are particularly concerned about what they see as a significant step up in the threat that they face, far beyond, you know, verbal abuse and maybe the possibility of some kind of criminal damage and so on, which is what they do experience, to something far more dangerous. And they feel that the repercussions may take some time to emerge in terms of their congregation maybe stopping coming to their prayers and so on, that people are still in a state of shock about it.
Yeah, let's broaden out the conversation because, as you say, there is a court case. This is all being treated as a terrorist investigation, which is quite unusual for the Irish experience to date.
Yeah, I mean, this small grouping has been identified as call themselves the Irish Defence Army, but they are tiny in numbers from the assessment of the various authorities. We're talking something along the lines of 8 members, so they're really small. But of course, a really small grouping can obviously be potentially extremely dangerous if they have the intent and the willingness to carry out violence, and then also the capability to do so. this grouping broke away from a larger grouping, which also sees itself as a self-defense army against foreign and domestic threats, as they describe themselves. So the authorities do have this second grouping also in their eyesight. I wouldn't say under surveillance, because surveillance is an extremely costly and labour-intensive business, but they know the second grouping quite well and are keeping an eye on them. But we have a plethora of small groups, small little units in the country that appear to have a willingness to at least call for violence if they don't themselves are saying they're going to commit them themselves. So there's a number of little groupings out there, all probably known to each other, and they are also watched carefully by not only the authorities, but there's far-right watchers who are also active online.
You mentioned online there. Does this so-called Irish Defence Army have a big online presence?
Not really. It's small. I mean, these groupings do tend to operate, have some presence on the likes of TikTok and Twitter. So openly, they might have a presence. And then what often might happen is, from what I'm being told, is that if the administrator of a Telegram channel belonging to these groupings consider them potential recruits, they might contact them directly. And then they would direct them to a private channel on Telegram in which they would discuss more serious and significant matters. And as you know, that they're encrypted channels that are obviously much harder to access for anyone on the outside. So that's generally how they seem to operate.
Mm. Now, you mentioned about talking to the Islamic community, and I just wanted to ask you about the fear in that community now, because the Irish Examiner spoke to one imam, Imam Ibrahim Noonan in Galway, who says every prayer now will be looking over our shoulder, which is such a chilling comment.
It is, yeah. I mean, and this is a mosque that has previously been targeted some 10 years ago. I remember writing about there was criminal damage carried out at the mosque, and the inside of the mosque was wrecked, and they suspect they were local people. This is not new to them, and he himself has been threatened on a number of occasions because he has been quite active in speaking out about the far right. But he was himself shocked by this development, because it raises the bar to such an extent that, you know, the threat is now going to the stage of potentially being bombed, whether that will be at night time when there's maybe nobody there, or during the day, which would be an awful vista for them to comprehend. But he was saying that people were only slowly kind of coming to terms with what they were hearing, because they found it very difficult to digest the scale of it. So even on Saturday, when they were having various meetings and people were calling in, he was saying, yeah, people were, as I said, they were living in fear, they were on edge. He said all their prayers are looking over their shoulders. They were going to have to seriously consider bringing in new security measures by having security on the gate, advising people to drive into the car park in front of the mosque rather than walking. You know, particularly concerned about Muslim women walking to and from mosques, which is something that other imams told me as well. They are on edge. I mean, when you consider what emerged or what the allegations are, it's no doubt that they're terrified. So, and he himself said that he thought it could take another week or so for people to comprehend what they were after hearing, and he thought it could affect the congregation in terms of coming for prayers into the future.
Yeah, people might stay away.
Stay away, yeah.
Does it feel like we're going the way of other European countries where we see these constant threats against members of the Muslim community?
Well, the security authorities here have said, and experts have said, there's no reason why Ireland at some stage won't follow suit. We are lucky, and we don't have the threat that there is obviously in Germany and in Britain. But even if you look at the recent developments in Britain with following Stockport, and even recently with this phenomenon of the flags to mark territory and to intimidate minorities, that was copied over here fairly quickly. So unfortunately, now that this has happened, it's very difficult to put the genie back into the bottle. I mean, because other groups will see what this group has tried to do. You know, there's plenty of research showing that there's always a danger of copycat incidents, or other groups thinking, well, maybe we should be doing the same and stop talking and actually do something. So unfortunately, it may be. So that raises the issue as far as a country and as a government is going to be done about it. Because certainly the imams felt that the government and society as a whole need to act now, because there's no point waiting until there's actually an actual tragedy and then responding, which is often the approach.
But right now, the incidents are being treated as isolated incidents rather than a pattern or a network around the country.
Yes, well, this particular grouping, the security services, I'm being told, know almost all of them in terms of their identities. So they'll be looking at these very closely. Quite possibly there could be arrests. But if you think of this as a tiny grouping in a wider, albeit very small section of the population that might be intent on carrying out something similar, they're going to have a lot more people to look at. And, you know, Ireland, we don't really have the resources there yet to be monitoring a anyway large percentage of the population. And there's all talk about investing in our security services and so on. And it's a very difficult area, because if they're all small individual groupings, it's very hard to find structure and to find pattern and to find network and to identify what's happening, because they're all small individual groups. Some of them even are, you know, got grievances against each other. So it can be a very difficult area to monitor. And I was being told last week that this is an area that the security service will have to be devoting a lot more resources and effort into the future. Not least because, as we see, the wider picture in terms of division and intolerance and hatred doesn't look like it's going to reduce across Europe and across the world. So the picture is, it looks, well, it certainly looks it's going to be very busy for the authorities.
People will be wondering, do the authorities have the expertise to deal with this? Because this feels like a relatively new thing here.
Yeah, that's always going to be a concern, not least if this area of work for the Gardaí and others has not benefited from any major increase in resources in the last 10 years or so. That appears, the signs are certainly coming out that appears to have changed, and that there's a much greater acknowledgement by the government and the government departments that this is an area that we have to invest in, because it's not only the threat from the far right, we've the threat from obviously Russia and other areas that are obvious, that we need to develop some sort of proper security structure in the state to monitor this and to respond to it. But you know, the Guard's a very long and good relationship with European intelligence agencies for a long time. So they can tap into a network of knowledge and expertise as well. It is going to be very difficult because, as I say, if you have a lot of individual small groupings, it's difficult to monitor all of them, particularly when the sharp end of it, the business end of it by these groups is done on closed channels on Telegram. It makes it difficult to monitor.
And I suppose some senior Gardaí do have experience of dealing with our paramilitary history as well. Just finally to ask you, Cormac, politicians, they're going to really have to watch what they say now, aren't they? Because it can very quickly inflame things.
Yeah, and we've had comments in recent weeks that have caught people by surprise, not least by the Taoiseach, in his comments on too many migrants coming into the country. The politicians might obviously not intend anything by what they say, but they can be taken on by the wider far right as support for their actions. But it's a difficult area, isn't it, to try and debate. I mean, we've had this raised before. How do we discuss this area in a calm fashion? It's a tricky one, but without a doubt, language and particularly any trend towards dehumanising minorities is a very dangerous area, and it's something we all probably need to watch in terms of what is said, because it can feed into this kind of poisonous environment that a small number, and we are talking about a small number of people who are willing to take the extra step and engage in violence.
Okay, well, Cormac O'Keefe, security correspondent with the Irish Examiner, thanks a million for being here with us on News Talk Daily. And that is it from the podcast for today. Please be sure to follow us on your podcast platform of choice so you never miss an episode. Just search for News Talk Daily and hit the like button. I'll be back with more tomorrow. Until then, take care. Bye-bye.